Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of
P&B Unplugged.
Oh, that is such a nice
Coffee voice. It's the coffee.
You got that coffee voice going on tonight. Hey, we have had a little upgrade to the podcast tonight. I hope that you notice and appreciate it.
I'm going to mess it all up immediately.
We have a new camera. We have some lighting going on. We've upgraded a little bit, so the quality is a little bit better for you, and I hope you enjoy that tonight. We have a very, very special edition of P&B Unplugged tonight, and this will give you a little bit background on one of the songs.
Behind the music.
Yeah, there you go. Behind the music. One of the songs that we put on our latest recording was written by probably one of the most prolific songwriters in Southern gospel music.
For sure.
A guy named Rodney Griffin. And I was thinking about Rodney, and we'll bring him on in just a second. He's actually going to be on call with us tonight. And but I was thinking about all the songs that he had written.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I don't know all the songs that he's written because he's written a lot. But I remember we put out a project in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
Called This Is Your Day.
Oh, yeah.
And he co-wrote
the title track.
The title track. That's right. And so that was one of his. So we've recorded a couple of Rodney's songs, and we're so excited to have him on the podcast tonight.
I'm sure we've not put a whole lot of fruit in him's pocket. But
yeah,
we're the best we can.
We're doing the best we can.
He's going, all right, burger and fries, baby.
Oh, my goodness. Well, but we are thankful to have him on the podcast tonight, and what we're going to do is we're going to talk to him a little bit about our brand new radio single.
Yeah.
And it's a song that he has written. It's called I've Seen What It Can Do. Rodney, can you hear us okay?
Hey, friends.
Hey,
is
Rodney.
Is this a prank call?
No, it's
just
not.
How big of a failure are you?
Not big enough, brother. Not big enough.
It's great to hear your voice tonight. First of all, how are you doing? Are you having a good day?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm fantastic. We spent some time with our granddaughter today, and then mowed the yard and took a walk with my wife. Sat on the back porch a little while with the dogs. So we're kind of out in the country, and we just enjoy that here in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And it's been a great day.
So you live in what part of Kentucky?
Kind of south central, Mount Vernon, which is just about an hour below Lexington on I-75.
Okay, well, some of Caleb's family, they're from Kentucky, but they're from eastern Kentucky.
They're from the deep side of Kentucky, brother, you know what I mean?
They're over there with the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
That's right.
I would just go across the Black Mountain. It's over in Cumberland and Lynch, and I mean, out in the holler, buddy.
Yeah.
Well,
we
just really wanted tonight to be kind of a conversation with you. Not really anything too structured, but one thing that I did want to start with, you mentioned your family. You mentioned your wife and your granddaughter. Tell us a little bit about you know, maybe how long you've been married and, you know, just a little bit about your family, and then we'll move on into a little bit about your career.
Yeah. Regina, my wife, and I met, she is from right here in Mount Vernon. So when I first joined Greater Vision, about 4 months later, we swung up here and sang in Mount Vernon. Mm. And that was in April of 1994. And I met Regina that night. Her pastor introduced us, and neither one of us knew at first sight, you know, what the Lord would do to bring us together. But this December will be 31 years we've been married.
Wow.
So we're very, very blessed. We we lived in Morristown, Tennessee. There where Greater Vision is based out of for the first 18 years of our marriage. We have two daughters. Reagan is the oldest. Riley is the youngest. And they were both born there in Knoxville, the hospital.
Okay.
And matter of fact, we lived in Jefferson City, Tennessee. And I think Jacob and Carmen went to school at Carson Newman.
Whoop, whoop. Wow. Yeah. You have a, either you either went and read our bios online or you have a really good memory somehow. But yeah, we did go to Carson Newman. And
what am I? What color am I thinking of, Ronnie?
Definitely green.
How did you know?
Okay. Yeah, so
well, I'm talking about burgers and fries and being able to afford that. So,
yeah. Oh, that's good.
That's good. Yeah, we did go to Carson Newman, the big city of Jefferson City. There was a Japanese restaurant there in Jefferson City called
Narita.
Narita's, and we
was
went.
That
yes, we loved that place. We loved that place. So, what year did you guys graduate?
Carson Newman?
I graduated in 08.
And I graduated in 2010.
Okay. So we just literally were 2 miles from campus.
Oh, wow. Oh,
lived on awesome. Old AJ Highway.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's interesting.
Down by the Dollar General store.
That is so
that's
awesome.
That's funny.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It's a cute little city. I liked it.
Yeah, yeah it is.
They have
and
a Walmart.
That Mexican is great. Our favorite Mexican place to this day is still in Jefferson City, and you know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think so. What's it called?
I have to think about that.
I can't remember.
Help us out, Caleb.
Brother.
You know some stuff.
I'm thinking Jefferson think City. It. Come on, man. I got to get it in my brain.
There's. It is fantastic. I know it every time except when I'm trying to think of it. But anyway.
So you've been married for 31 years.
31 years. We moved up here to Kentucky in December of 2012 when my wife lost her father. Mm-hmm. We wanted to be closer to her mother.
Sure.
And my parents were moving down from Ohio. Dad came back to his old home place here. I grew up just 30 minutes from here. So Dad and Mom built a house, and they live 30 minutes from us, and Regina's mom lives 5 minutes from us, so we're right where we're supposed to be.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's...
And we've been up here now for soon be 13 years.
Wonderful.
And now you've got not just a little granddaughter, you got two grandbabies, right?
We do. Reagan, our oldest daughter, she and her husband had a little boy the day after Christmas, so he's... Mm-hmm. Starting to try to walk. So they'll both be at Quartet Convention.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
Our daughters, Regina and the girls, they'll be there. They've not missed a Quartet Convention since they were in strollers.
Well,
I think it's kind of neat. I think it's neat that they want to be there.
Yeah.
You know, gospel music is what took their dad away from them all those years. You know, I missed birthdays, I missed soccer games, and they don't hate me for it. So
that's a blessing.
The fact they want to be there, and you know, gospel music family is such a wonderful family.
Yeah.
And they feel a part of that. So even in their 20s, they still want to be at Quartet Convention. So that makes me happy.
So as we think about Quartet Convention and singing and songs and all those things, I was thinking about one of my favorite Rodney songs today, or Greater Vision songs, but Rodney songs, was My Name is Lazarus. I love
yes.
that one. And I was just sitting around thinking about all those all those tunes. Now, have you been a songwriter before you joined Greater Vision? I know you've written a lot. I know you've been a part of Greater Vision for a long time. Talk to me a little bit about that. When did you start writing and all that sort of thing?
Yeah, I grew up Somerset, Kentucky, which is 30 minutes from here. Went to Berea College, which is 30 mm-hmm. minutes from here north. And then graduated with a degree in biology, which is a must for a gospel singer. You have to have that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
actually, I kind of had an emphasis in horticulture. I always loved landscape design, that kind of thing. So I got hired out in the east coast of Virginia. That's where I was born. We had friends there still. And I moved out there and rented a trailer from them and started my life there. And, you know, back then you graduated college, you hugged your parents and you moved 8 hours away and there was no cell phone. There was no email. You just called once a week to check in. Yeah. I mean, you really left home.
Yeah.
And so I was on my own and found a good church there. And as I was eventually would get a job at Newport News Shipbuilding in Newport News, Virginia. And when I was there at my desk on my breaks and lunch and stuff, for some reason, tunes and lyrics would come to me. And I had no outlet. I knew nobody. I just knew that I was enjoying trying to create something. And there was nobody helping me or giving me advice. I didn't know anybody. So I wrote my first probably 15 or 20 songs that way, and they weren't any good, but you got to get those out of the way. I think one of those has been recorded all these years. They're just not good. So anyway, that was 89, and then I joined my first full-time group in 91. So I'd written a couple years and then joined the Brashears out of Russellville, Arkansas. Was there for about 6 months and was still continuing to write. And then I joined the Dixie Melody Boys, was there in 92 and 93. And that's when I had my first song recorded, when I was with them.
Oh, okay.
So
what was the name of that?
We did a live album. Let's see. I Have a New Song to Sing.
Oh.
Just a simple quartet song. And we did it on our live album. So I got to be there singing the first song I ever had recorded with the quartet I was with. So it was a real, incredible honor. We got to watch the response of the people, the whole package, you know. Yeah. So that was just, I still remember that night. And speaking of green, Caleb, we had on green suits that night. That's probably what you were thinking earlier.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You can look that up. Dixie Melody Boys live in Marion, Illinois. And we had on these matching green suits. So anyway, that's when I started writing. And then I joined Greater Vision 2 years later. And this December will be 32 years here for me.
Wow, that's
so crazy how it flies. Flies by.
That's an amazing run. And, you know, you guys have been just, you're a staple in Southern gospel music. And, you know, you're just, the whole group, you know, whether it's been, you know, it's you and Gerald, but then, you know, like, you know, John Epley was with you guys, and now you got Scott, and you've had a bunch of different baritones. But, you know, for the most part, it's been you and Gerald for a really long time, right? I mean.
Yeah, it has. The group is 35 years old. I've been here 32. Chris was here 5, and now he's been back. He was gone 15, and now he's been back almost 16. So he's been here 20 years total.
Wow.
Jason Waldrop was here during Chris's absence. He was here 13 years. So Mark Trammell, of course, I took his place after 3 years when he went to Gold City.
Right.
So up until Gerald stopped singing about 8 years ago when we brought John Epley on board. That's the first time we'd had 4 guys on stage. It was always just 3.
Huh. And is
me, Gerald, and Chris, me, Gerald, and Jason.
And John was from, John's from our area. They're in Johnson City.
Yeah, Johnson City.
Yeah. And so we live over in Bristol. And
okay.
I never knew John really before he joined Greater Vision. And then I met him through just different concerts that I was at or quartet convention or whatever. and just the sweetest, most humble guy you'd ever want to meet. And of course, I love Scott now too, that's with you guys. He used to be with the Guardians, but he's a great guy too. Humble, loves the Lord. But I really love John, and I know that he's doing well now with Legacy 5. And it's just really cool to see all those people that have come into your all's life, into your all's path, and now they're just flourishing and succeeding in other areas. And you guys are just you guys are great. We love you all, and we appreciate you so much.
Well, thank you. We love what we do still, and we try to take the same approach that we always have, and always been a group that is based out of the church, and we just love doing concerts at a church. We'll sing anywhere, you know. We sang this summer out on a hot fairground, watching them make fried snickerdoodles or something.
We're singing in a barn on Saturday afternoon. So.
Are you okay? Yeah, you know, you just sing wherever they invite you.
Yeah,
but it's fun. It's not an easy life, as you guys know. Mm-hmm. But even when you're tired, you feel like you're doing something worthwhile.
Yeah.
And that you feel like you're making a difference in somebody's life, and that makes it really worth the trip.
It truly is a calling, you know. Some folks may think that it's just you know, glamorous and all that sort of thing. And I haven't been on the road nearly as long as you have, or Greater Vision, but you know, it's not. It is a true calling. You've got to really be called to do it before you know. So pray about that before you think about going out on the road. So.
You definitely do.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about this song that we recorded called "I've Seen What It Can Do."
Wait.
Oh, go ahead, Caleb.
We can't just jump the gun here.
No.
Rodney has mentioned he's been in Virginia, he's been in Tennessee, he's been in UK or Kentucky. He's been in Arkansas.
Yeah.
What color college football are we talking about here, Rodney? That's what I need to know.
You know, I don't really follow college football that much. I love college basketball.
Okay.
I'm a definite UK Wildcat fan since I was a child.
I can't even fault you for that, man. The Wildcats.
Yeah.
They're a great basketball school. Now, I know who he likes in football, the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, since a child, since I found out Tom Landry was a Christian for some reason. And of course, we're far removed from that in the current administration.
Oh,
we pray for them.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to be a Cowboys fan sometimes, isn't it? But Dak Prescott, he's doing pretty well right now, and I think he got a pretty decent team this year.
Yeah, I was surprised this last week they played the Super Bowl defending the champs Philadelphia Eagles, and they actually were competitive. So
yeah, they were pretty competitive.
I was just, I try to go to a game every year, but last couple of years it's not lined up right. Like they'll play Monday Night Football on Quartet Convention Week, so that takes that out.
Yeah,
you can't do that. No, Gerald probably wouldn't be too happy about you going to see the Cowboys during Quartet Convention.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of times he goes too. He's not really a fan, but he just likes the stadium. He likes, we'd fly out there. And for years we met, you know, Glenn Payne with the Cathedrals.
Yeah.
He had a brother named Ken Payne who lived in Dallas.
Okay.
And he just passed away earlier this year. Well, Ken has become a dear friend through the years. And every year I would fly out. He'd pick me up at the airport, whether it's just me or I've taken Regina, I've taken the girls. Gerald been a number of times. Jim Brady, Nick and Mark Trammell. I'm trying to think of all the different people that have gone with us through the years. We've had some really fun excursions, you know, 8 or 10 of us flying out and meeting in Dallas and then going to the game, sitting together and having a good time.
I'll tell you this, if you ever run out of people to ask to go to a Dallas Cowboys game, just keep old Phillips and Banks in mind.
I love, you're definitely very ministry minded. I mean, it comes out in your writing and I had to ask a football question, but I also love to see, And I hope people watch this podcast. I absolutely love your Facebook post because you just...
He's a real guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're just real down to earth. And that's something that always stuck out to me. When I started following you, I was like, this guy takes these candid shots, and that's hilarious.
Yes, they are funny.
You just living life, man. And but to me, I think people need to see that we're just realistic. It doesn't, just because we're Christians don't mean you can't have fun. You know what I mean?
And that's so true. We're dressed up most of the time. Well, you're welcome, man. You know, truth is, I've always been just a little off. You know, I'm either laughing or crying. I cry easy and I laugh easy. So, So I just kind of, Facebook, we just try to be ourselves and we have fun with it.
Well, tell us a little bit about this song, Rodney, and I'll start. Whenever we were picking these songs for the new record, I remember I got a pitch from our producer, and they said this song from Rodney Griffin, and of course I immediately opened it because I take everything you send extremely seriously, and so I opened that recording, and it was, I kept waiting for the music to kick in, and there, I kept thinking, where's the music? And it sounded like you were driving down the road. There was all this noise in the background. You were snapping your finger and singing a cappella, and I listened to the first verse, and I really identified with that, and I'll share why I identify so much with the first verse here in a minute. And then I heard the second verse, and I could imagine in the second verse, I've seen an altar filled with saints who prayed a sinner home. You know, I thought about Caleb and his testimony and his life. So I was identifying with everything you were singing, and I was like, man, I know this thing ain't got no music, but it is just a great traditional Southern gospel, good lyrics, good meaty lyrics, and I just immediately knew that we should record it. And we did, and it's our current single. It's called I've Seen What It Can Do. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, how that song came to be? What was your inspiration?
You know, I try to keep notes of when I write songs so I'll remember. And when I can't remember exactly what started the thought, you know, sometimes a thought just pops in my head and it's like, well, where'd that come from? You know, let me write that down. And in this case, I don't remember if it was a quote or if the Lord just threw this thought in my mind.
Yeah.
But I do know I was in my pickup truck and I was heading from here in Mount Vernon to meet the guys in Nashville. Our bus was being worked on at Prevost. And it's about a 3-hour drive down there. And I enjoy riding when I'm driving because, you know, especially if you've driven from Somerset, Kentucky over to Bowling Green on the Cumberland Parkway, it's 4-lane and there's nothing.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful to just really think, and you can really right. Well, you're not having to dodge traffic. You're not having to stop at stoplights. So,
right.
So I just remember just that thought just came upon me. And for some reason I thought, imagine like a country preacher standing up in a small church and saying something like, folks, you know, and I've not been many places, you know, I've not been over in Israel, but I have seen the power of what Jesus's empty grave can do.
Yeah.
And we felt it here in this church and we live it. And I wanted to put myself in that position. If someone like that were to tell the story, what would it be like? So I just started singing these versions into my phone. It was in 2017. So what, 8 years ago now?
Yeah.
It was in July of 2017.
That's the year we started our group.
Oh, wow. That's neat. So I was writing it for you. Didn't even know it. So I'm just driving in this boring drive, and I'm just putting this song together. And by the time I got to Nashville, I had it finished.
Oh, wow.
And I never did a demo on it. So all I had was what you heard.
Oh, just wow. That.
Me driving down the road in a truck, singing it. So I was just really, really thankful that you guys considered it, even though, you know, it's just, it's hard to get a song recorded anyway, especially one that doesn't even have a decent demo.
Well, you know, I think there's something to be said when you hear a song and you immediately connect with it. We were talking about this here recently, just, you know, when you immediately connect with something, you know that it's for you, you know, when you're going through that process of picking songs. And, you know, I don't know if Carmen wants to share this or she wants me to share it, but do you want to share about a little bit about our trip to Israel?
Sure. Like, we had an opportunity to go to Israel when we were in college. The choir at Carson Newman, I don't really know how it all came about, but we were going to sing with an orchestra and
professional soloists.
All these things over in Bethlehem Square on Christmas
Eve. Oh, wow.
Night, yes. And it was before, it was when, you know, it was semi-safe at that time for us to go there. And so that it was like a 10-day trip or something. And so while we were, we thought we have to go. Like, you know, we got to figure out how to get there because we may never go again, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we did get to go. And while we were there, Jacob had hatched this elaborate plan, I suppose, to propose to me while we were over there. Mm-hmm. And he snuck a ring and like a little, he sewed, you got his, he went to all great lengths to not have to pull it out.
I took a little drawstring, I took a little drawstring bag and put the ring down in that drawstring bag. And then my mom sewed that drawstring bag into the inside of a sweatband that I wore on my arm. And we got it over there, and we were both baptized in the Jordan River. And when she came up out of the water, I was waiting on her with a ring. I figure she couldn't say no, you know, if you're proposing.
No,
on the
not
banks of
the Jordan.
Jordan. Right, right. So
yeah, you can't say no in the Jordan.
So it was a pretty special trip, but I know that Jacob, when we sing this song now, you know, he talks about that the two of us have been there, you know. But the thing we found out, it was a very special trip, and there were special moments that knowing that you were there where he was, but where Jesus was. But that I'm thankful that you don't have to go there to know his presence. You don't have to go there to know what change he's made in your own heart and life and what he can do in the lives of the people that you know and who need him, you know. He can be.
You know, that's what the song's all about, right? So I may never see his empty grave, but I've seen what it can do. You know, the power of God. And I just think that's such a beautiful picture. That's why I love the song so much, is that you don't have to go see those things in order to feel the presence of God. And I said that when we got back from that trip, that, you know, I thought it was just going to be some kind of like super spiritual experience. And it was, but it was also very commercialized in some places. I mean, we got to see a lot of things. But that was the greatest lesson that I learned when we got back, was I don't have to go to Israel to experience the presence of God, because Jesus died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, the veil of the temple was split from top to bottom. And now we have total access to God through Jesus. And that's why I just really, really connected with that first verse. And then I don't know, do you know anything about Caleb's testimony? Have you ever heard his testimony?
I've not heard him give it, but I've heard about it, about overcoming a prescription drug addiction.
Yeah. And so when I heard that second verse and talking about family praying for, you know, that wayward son to come home, my mind immediately went to Caleb, because Caleb, you share about, you know, your family praying for you, right?
Yeah. I talk about that all the time, that, well, I won't go into a whole lot of, but the one some of my family, all of them were praying for me, but one that was very outwardly spoken about was my Aunt Carol.
I loved Aunt Carol.
Okay.
My Aunt Carol, gosh, tough love was the definition that I think God wrote when he made her. And she worked at Walmart her whole life. But long story short, every time she saw me running, it didn't matter where we were at. I thought I had my sin pretty well hid. And looking back now, I think, yeah, I know. Everybody knew exactly what was going on. And but she would, first of all, call me out on it and tell me exactly what I was doing and give me the what for. And then she'd squeeze me like she was never going to see me again, and she'd say, I'm praying for you. And I share that all the time, that I believe 100%. I found out later on that the rest of my family was praying for me when I was struggling. And so I think about that. I truly believe it's because of my family's faithfulness. And I'm not saying the Lord didn't have it in his plan, but I believe that... And I never quote it right, but it's one of my favorite scriptures, that the fervent effectual or fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much.
Yeah.
And
I
truly believe that scripture is, yeah, I think that's why I am where I am today.
It is funny. Caleb shares sometimes, he'll say, because, you know, while he was out in sin, quote unquote, you know, a lot of his family members were praying for him, Rodney.
Oh, yeah.
And he said that, you know, some of them went on to be with the Lord before he ever came to know Jesus. And so he'll tell the audience sometimes, he'll say, yeah, some of my family don't even know I'm coming
to heaven.
That's so great.
Yeah,
just inside the gate. Hey, I made it.
I think, you know, hearing all those stories, connecting with that first verse through our trip to Israel and connecting to that second verse through Caleb's story and his testimony of addiction was the song. We just knew we had to record it, so... you know, thank you for your commitment to good music, to good lyrics. Thank you for your commitment to Southern gospel music, and thank you for giving us a great song. It's our current radio single, and it just showed up on the Power 50 weekly chart this week, actually. And so,
oh wow,
yeah, we're excited about that as well. So,
well, and taking time to hone your craft, you know, like you said, you keep writing, and I've heard that same thing from a few different writers. And I, if you don't mind me asking, Rodney, we had the chance when we were doing not this last project, but the one before, we did a little hymns project, and Ronnie Henson, Ronnie came back to our Airbnb and just hung out with us that night, and he was sharing that when he writes, that sometimes he said, I do write, like you said, hoping that somebody will use the song and that it gets picked up, he said. But other times, he said, I just write because that's my time with the Lord. That's my way of, I praise him through the lyrics, and that's kind of the way it starts. Is that kind of, I'm just curious if that's the same for you, or if that's like your, kind of sometimes I got to get it out, how I feel about what the Lord's showing me or doing, you know, I assume.
Yeah.
You know,
It's a wonderful time of worship. I feel closest to the Lord when I'm writing.
Yeah.
When these thoughts come in my head that I could never think myself, and I'm blessed. I'm the first one to get blessed by the song because he's let me hear it first. And so it's just an incredible honor to get to be the first to cry when they heard a song.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot. If it's a song that is very, just hits home, and I just cry my way through it. And then whenever I get to where I can sing it without crying, I try to do a demo.
Yeah. We kind of have a song like that on the latest recording. Autumn wrote a song called Through, and it's on our latest project. And, you know, she wrote that from a place of Caleb was in the hospital, and she actually started writing it beside his hospital bed. And the hook line says, I know his way is perfect, I know your way is perfect, even if your way is through. Talking about how sometimes we got to go through the valley. God doesn't just remove us, you know. But, you know, it's taken, you know, we recorded that song, but we're kind of like you in that place right now where it's kind of hard to sing that song live right now because it's still fresh. All those things are still fresh.
Yeah.
And you know, it's very emotional, you know, when you pour your heart and soul into something. And so I get that. I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah, man.
Well, the audience enjoys you being vulnerable on stage. And yeah. I know with we were talking about having been to Israel and how that changed your perspective, you know, as you read your Bible and everything. Yeah. Most of the people that we sing to have never had an opportunity to go to Israel. Right. So that's why, like what you're saying, they still get to enjoy the power of the resurrection, even though they haven't seen the empty grave.
Right.
And blessed are those who have never seen but still believe, amen. Jesus said. So,
amen.
So amen. That's who you're singing to.
Amen.
And that's what makes what you guys do so important. So I just encourage you just to keep on going.
Well, thank you, Rodney. Thank you for taking the time tonight just to talk with us a little bit about this song and give us some background. And I hope that those of you that are watching the podcast will, you know, you need, if you've never listened to Greater Vision, which if you know anything about Southern Gospel music, you'll know Greater Vision. But if you've never heard them, please go to their website, go see them in concert, listen to their music because they're just fantastic. And Rodney, I'd be speaking out of turn if I said this 100%, but does Greater Vision, do you write everything for Greater Vision or?
No, we have, we receive songs. I listen to songs that are emailed to us all the time. And okay. Then I take the ones to the group that are in our ballpark.
Gotcha.
And also Chris Allman writes.
Right.
And when
right.
John Epley was here, he wrote. Mm-hmm. So we are always listening for a great song. And then I just kind of fill in the holes if we have any on the project and see if there's something we need.
Well, he's done a major body of work. And so if you're interested, go to listen to some Greater Vision.
I want to say this too, I hope you don't mind me sharing this, Rodney, but I remember when we first started coming to Quartet Convention as Phillips and Banks, you had posted something. It wasn't the first year. I think it was the second year. And honestly, it was kind of overwhelming to me to come in there and like talk to you guys. I was like, this is Rodney, man. You don't just walk over to Greater Vision and say, well, what are you doing? You know what I mean? But it just, I've been trying to share with a lot of people how approachable you guys are. And I remember you putting this post out. I don't know. You remembered everything else, so I'm sure you probably do remember. But I can't remember exactly how you put this, but you were talking about how you were going to go out of your way while you were there to talk to somebody who maybe felt like they didn't belong there or just kind of maybe the group that's looked kind of overlooked. And I want you to know you've really done that with us. Not that I really felt overlooked, but when I read that post, like all that week, it didn't matter. If I walked past that table 100 times, you were always anybody that's walking by. You just had a smile on your face, and you're so welcoming, man. And I appreciate people like you that's been in the industry for it. You don't have to be that way, but you are. You know, you're just very welcoming into, like you said, in the gospel family, you know. So I appreciate that about you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Caleb. You guys fit right in. And, you know, in the big picture, our little gospel music industry is so tiny. Mm. So we have to, it takes everybody to make a difference for the Lord. And there are no more important or less important pieces. Every possible avenue, every influence, everything we can do to encourage somebody and make it a positive experience when we leave, whether it be Quartet Convention or seen at a church or a fairground or wherever. Wherever we're singing, it's just the time is short and workers are few. So it's just so wonderful to have folks like you continuing to spread the message, because you'll sing to people that we'll never see. And then other groups will sing to people that neither Phelps and Banks or Greater Vision will ever see. It just takes every single person doing everything they can.
Man, I got one last question, because I feel like we're wrapping up, I suppose. Right. So
yeah,
okay,
I think
I'm
so,
just
yeah.
checking. But I want to ask a question, and you may have to think for just a second, and we'll cut out your thinking time. It's fine.
Yeah, we can cut that out.
Well, I want you to think. I love hearing God's stories, you know, and you've walked with the Lord for a very long time in your life. I know you're not old. Sorry, that sounded like I was saying that. That's not what I'm saying. But you've walked with the Lord for quite a long time in your life. And I just think, what is one God story that only could point to something, you know, that you attribute to Him, you know, that you would share with somebody?
Okay, there are so many.
I'm sure.
since we're involved in gospel music, I know you guys can't imagine a world with no internet, no cell phone. The only connection to somebody, to a wannabe gospel singer in the industry was the Singing News magazine. That was the only place. There was no websites. You just had a magazine mailed to you every month, and then you just looked through every word of that. Well, when I was working at the shipyard, wanting to do this so bad, but I had no connection. I had no phone numbers, zero. I just opened the Singing News, and I'd made up my mind that I'm just going to move to where there are some gospel groups, because there was nobody out on the East Coast at the time. So I decided, my dad was pastoring in Southern Ohio. I thought, I'll just leave this job, go move in with them, and sing part-time with anybody that I can, and just load airplanes at night. There was like a UPS type place near there in Hillsboro, Ohio area. And I said, I'll just leave this career because I want to sing so bad. So I got out my Singing News, and I flipped through, and I was looking for any group in Ohio. You know, they still back then had little bitty ads in the corners, eighth page ad, half page ad. Well, this was just a little bitty corner, and it was a group called Higher Dedication. It said, please request our new single. And it was just these three guys, and I saw they were based out of Hamilton, Ohio. So I thought, okay, maybe they'll know of a group looking for a singer in that area, because that's about an hour from mom and dad. And, you know, groups talk. And sure. So there was a phone number. So I picked up the phone when I got home from work, and I called, and there's a man answered. And I said, hey, you don't know me. My name is Rodney Griffin, and I work at the shipyard here, but I'm getting ready to move to Hillsboro, Ohio. And I'm just wanting to know, are there any singing groups in Southern Ohio that might be looking for a singer? Because I would love to try out. And he said, yes, we are.
Oh, wow.
So the first call, he said, and we just went full time. We're leaving for California next week.
What? Oh, my gosh.
He said, so how soon can you get here to try out? So I said, I'll buy a plane ticket tomorrow.
Wow.
So back then, you just had to call the airline to get a plane ticket. So I flew out of Virginia, flew to Cincinnati. They picked me up, drove me to their house. We tried out, and they said, we like you, you like us, you're hired. So within 24 hours, well, actually it was 48 hours, sitting in my desk at the shipyard just praying for God to open a door.
Amazing.
I just opened the magazine, make one phone call, and now I'm a full-time gospel singer. So drove
awesome.
A U-Haul back to Virginia with my dad, and we load up everything, turned in my resignation there at the shipyard, and headed back to Ohio and got on the bus and went to California.
Wow.
So that is just the craziest. Mm-hmm. To sit there and want to do this so long. And then finally, when I decided, okay, I'm willing to leave this career, because it was a good career, I'm willing to leave this leave this career and just do whatever. Then that's when God threw the door open. And of course, I didn't make much money.
Yeah.
Sorry to disappoint you, Caleb.
No green, brother. That's what I was saying.
But I sure got to sing. And so, yeah, I don't know if that was Carmen or Autumn who had asked me that, but
that was Carmen.
Okay. So that's a God moment that I'll never forget, Carmen.
For sure. Right.
Yeah. I think we could sit around and share those God moments, over and over and over again. Different stories and things of how everything got started. And I won't take you all the way through ours or anything, but it is truly about making a decision to be obedient to the thing that you feel like God is calling you to do. And sometimes that makes, you kind of look crazy for, abandoning everything else and just saying, okay, Lord, wherever you want to take me, I want to go. And I think when you get that radical obedience about you, you finally just surrender and say, Lord, I trust that you're going to take care of me. Now, where are we going? And when you finally do that, he will, bam. I mean, sometimes he'll just make it happen. You know what I'm saying? And
yes, he will.
So I can identify with that. We were kind of in the same position before we started Phillips and Banks, and we were actually a group before we knew we were a group. We sang at a funeral together, and God really took that moment in time where we sang and just kind of built the ministry over time, filling dates and stuff. And it's just crazy when you finally surrender. He'll make it happen. So
he says, "All right, now that you're on board, let's go."
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, he does. Yes, he does.
Brother Rodney, thank you so much for taking the call today, and we appreciate you so much. We're going to go ahead and just let you go, and I hope you have a good night. Give Regina a big hug and tell her that we'll see her at Quartet Convention. Okay.
I'll definitely do that. I do have one more thing to say to Carmen.
Okay. Oh. Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
El Cezan.
No. Oh. Yeah, I Googled it. I was waiting for the moment to tell you.
That is the Mexican restaurant.
That's it, yeah.
That is the Mexican restaurant in Jefferson City, and it's still my favorite Mexican place of all the ones I've been to all over the United States. El Cezan in Jefferson City.
Yeah.
Yes, it's
so
still great.
So if you're in Jefferson City or near Knoxville, you just go to El
Cezan.
Now,
I grew up in Mohawk on down the road, so our excitement was we got McDonald's.
Okay.
And I was like, woo!
Do you know where Mohawk and Bull's Gap? I'm sure you do. You're from Morristown.
I do.
Yeah,
I
that's
do.
Where Caleb
yes.
grew
that's
up.
That's exactly so. Where I grew up. I went to McDonald Elementary School.
Oh, yes. That's great.
Rodney, we love you, brother. You have a great night, and we'll talk to you real soon. We'll see you at Quartet Convention, okay?
Thank you.
Great. All right. Love you guys. Great,
love you, brother.
Great talking to you.
Love you, brother. God bless you.
All right. Bless you now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was a great little conversation with him.
Yeah, that was awesome, man.
I appreciate him taking the time. Caleb, why don't you tell him, all the things that you need to tell him?
All the things, amen. Well, I'm just going to tell you, if you're not already checking us out, on Tuesday nights at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time, we go Facebook Live on our Facebook page, obviously. So go check that out. There's also our schedule stuff. We got some new gear coming in if you want to check all that out.
Merch,
mm-hmm. Gear. Anyway, if you're not following our podcast or you don't know much about it, you can go click the little bell, follow our YouTube page, Phillips and Banks, and you can see more episodes of what's going on. What?
Actually, I think, I don't know where it is.
It'll be somewhere.
It'll
on
pop
the screen.
Up on that screen in just a second. Whoa. So, but anyways, check all that out. And then let us know what you think and what you like about it. So you can comment in. We got some more guests coming in.
Olivia, here's a guest
what
right
are you
now.
Doing?
She's going to say, hey.
The star of the show.
My favorite guest we've ever had.
But definitely check that out. And thank you all for watching. We've got some more stuff coming up in store. So
yeah, one thing that I would love for anybody that's watching this to tell us, because we want to do the kind of content that you want to see, obviously. So if you will comment, leave us a little note about some of the things that you like or some of the things, maybe the things that you like.
Within
maybe,
reason.
Maybe
I'm,
not
I'm,
the things
I'm not
that you hate.
I'm not taking my shirt off. I'm kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
Nobody wants to see that. All right, guys. Thank y'all so much for watching tonight. I hope you enjoyed this exclusive episode with Rodney Griffin, the writer of our current single, I've Seen What It Can Do. If you listen to Southern Gospel Music and you have a local station that you listen to, call and request that yep. song, I've Seen What It Can Do by Phillips and Banks. It should be everywhere they have Southern Gospel Music, okay?
All right.
Bye, losers.
All right, we're out like Meemaw's teeth.
Bye.